More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Stephanie Lecce. Peace has been a fleeting concept for centuries in Afghanistan. The war the U.S. fought there came not long after the Soviet military occupation there. At the turn of the 20th century, it was the British that fought in Afghanistan in a series of conflicts in which they fought to defend what they saw as their interests in that Central Asian region. And even in the time in between, Afghanistan was not immune from war. But it was with the more recent wars in the background that the tradition of weaving war rugs emerged. The rugs depict everything from the occupiers themselves to maps to military equipment. An exhibit of Afghan war rugs is on display through early January at the Villa Terrace Decorative Arts Museum. It's curated by private collector Enrico Mascheloni and by independent curator Anna Marie Sawkins. They spoke recently with Lake Effect's Bonnie North, and Mascheloni talked about the rugs' broader significance.
The first thing to say is war rugs are absolutely traditional in technique. So what's striking is the representation, of course, because they started before the Afghan wars, as everybody knows, that started with the Soviet occupation in 1979. And in the first phase of their short history, because the history is short, it's a recent typology, the weapons were in the border or in no central point of the rug. They look like to come in the rug just in a silence way. But during the wars, and especially in the beginning of the 80s, they became central and in some cases, and especially now, exclusive. They are just weapon in the war rugs. Anyway, what we have to do with this exhibition, the choice we did with Anne-Marie was to present for the first time the different typologies of war rug, because we consider war rug not only the rugs with weapons, with a prominent choice of like a campionary of weapons. So we consider war rug also other representation, present something like a modernization of the traditional typologies. For instance, cityscape rug, and especially urban cityscape rugs.
So had Afghan rug makers in the past told stories in their rugs? This is just a modern manifestation of that?
They did. Yeah. The pictorial rugs start with, not in Afghanistan, but in Iran, with the attempt of modernization of the Qajari dynasty. They started at the end of 18th century until the First World War. They were striked from the European typologies that started to arrive also Persia, especially the French painting of 19th century. So there was something like a modernization, an attempt of modernization of the Central Asian rug with representation most of time with stories from the high Persian literature, like the Shahnameh from Ferdowsi, the Book of Kings, and the poetry of Nezami, things like this. For instance, the story of Majnun, Leila, and Love Tale, things like this.
So, Anna Marie, one of the things that makes all of these rugs so interesting is that they are predominantly made by women. Is that correct?
That is true, although I think increasingly there are also men involved in the process of weaving. But traditionally it was always women that were weaving in the villages and among the nomadics.
So how did they get the information from outside? We always think of Afghan society, particularly tribal society, as being very closed, particularly for women, you know, that they don't see the outside world or aren't exposed to it very much. I mean, were people bringing in magazines, do you think?
In reality, I think it's a very visual culture, and that many Afghans are very keen observers. But there was also a lot of literature and images, postcards. I mean, Afghanistan has really been a center of trade and travel for centuries. It goes back to Genghis Khan and Alexander of Macedon or Alexander the Great. And so there's always been influences in the culture. And so using images from illustrations, postcards, propaganda, even U.S. propaganda, these all became source materials for rugs.
And Enrico, you were saying that the technique, however, is the same as it was centuries ago.
More or less the same.
So they're still hand weaving on a loom.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And, yeah, the rugs are in fact knotted. You know, it's a knotting technique that's made on either a vertical or a horizontal loom.
And so are there different sizes of rugs in this collection that we're going to see here at the Villa Terrace?
Yes, they range from quite small, almost mat size, to larger. So I would say largely medium and small sized rugs. But there's one very large world map rug, which is just phenomenal, mm-hmm. and is presented in its own room.
Has its own space to take in. Yeah, I saw the representation of that, or the reproduction picture of that, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah. Oh. I think Bon is very important to point out that normally, as you know, rugs became famous even in Western country in the last years, not before. But people think, also people who is involved with this carpet for dealing or just to study them, they think there is just one typology, the representation of weapons. It's not true. Mm-hmm. Because that one is just the one who is circulating in Western country. Mm-hmm. But as we told you before, there are the cityscape rug, mm-hmm. and many other rugs represent the attempt of representation of modernization. Because differently from people say, Afghanistan wasn't an isolated country. It was a country in the center of a big traffic, as Anne-Marie said, because it was central in the Silk Way, for instance, not only in ancient time, but also in the 19th century. Of course, it was a very strong country against any kind of people who tried to come in, and especially for invaders. Right. They were the only one to gain a serious war against the British Empire.
Yeah, they won their independence quite early in the empire, you know, or the dissolution of the empire. They were, and I think somebody once said that Afghanistan was the place that, you know, nobody was really able to conquer. You know, they had their own ways of doing things, and they weren't going to put up with it. Yeah.
One of the things that people will see in many of the rugs in the exhibition are some of the major monuments in Afghanistan, such as the Minaret of Jam, and also, in addition to world maps, also maps of Afghanistan. And then major monuments like dams or bridges and cityscapes, as mentioned earlier, that might be either Western or even from North America.
How did this collection come to be? This is a group of private collectors that this all comes from?
Most of the rugs were bought in Central Asia, especially during the 80s and also the beginning of the 90s, when Kabul and the main Afghan cities were very difficult to visit. Because before the Soviet occupation and after the fight of Mujahideen groups, immediately after the emirate of Taliban until 2001, so the main bazaar to find important war rugs was Peshawar in Pakistan. It's a borderline city. Now maybe it's more dangerous than Afghanistan, but at the time more or less was possible to go there without big problems. And in the 80s was the main market. So most of the rugs come from Peshawar, but also other come from Herat, from Kabul, and even someone has been bought in Europe.
Okay, so they've traveled as far as Europe.
As you know very well, Afghanistan in the 60s and 70s was the center point of the hippie trek to Asia. So the modernization of the country, and especially the cityscape rug, this is my opinion, I haven't a sure proof, but probably come from the considering the interest also from local dealer for this strange tourist.
Are these rugs still being made, or were these of a particular time and they are moving on to other kinds of expression in rug making?
No, they're still being made. Obviously, there's been some shifts in production area, with rugs originally being made in Afghanistan and now often in refugee camps in Pakistan. And of course, the art is evolving at the same time, too.
In what way? How is it changing?
Well, it is a craft that's influenced by the market. So when there's interest in a certain type of rug, then the dealers will find more of that type of rug. So the weavers are responding to what's selling in the marketplace.
So is that a representation of a modernization of Afghanistan? Is that what makes these rugs important artistically?
Well, it's interesting because I think originally or initially it wasn't so much the dealers that were interested in these rugs. It was rather curators and contemporary art curators like Enrico, primarily because they were different and they represented a very sort of real and new expression. And of course, what fascinates me is the fact that you've got this centuries-old tradition butting against contemporary reality and contemporary society and really, in a way, very individualistic expression. So they're very refreshing. The dealers tended to concentrate more on the antique rugs and sort of high quality, high knot numbers and this and that, and overlooking sort of the freshness of this imagery.
I want to thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you to you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Enrico Mascheloni and Anna Marie Sawkins are curators of the exhibit Afghan War Rugs, the Modern Art of Central Asia, on display through early January at the Villa Terrace Decorative Arts Museum. They spoke with Bonnie North, and you can see what some of the rugs look like at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. From the streets of Pittsburgh to helping orphans with AIDS in India, a documentary follows one man's journey to finding his calling. We speak with the director of Blood Brother when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.